ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Yesterday there was a group of people milking something. Who were the people who were milking yesterday?
Witches,
rakshasas, and yakshas. Yes, yakshas, rakshasas, and witches. And what were they? And what are they habituated to doing? Yes, eating flesh. And who they transform? Whose incarnation?
Rudra.
Rudra. Yeah, about you. Oh, you're looking here.
No.
Into what did they transform him into?
The cat.
Cat, yeah, like as usual. And what was the beverage made out of?
Blood.
Blood. And where did they put it into?
Skull.
Hopefully today it's a little bit nicer. Tatahayo dandashuka sarpa nagastela takshakam. I guess it sounds so much nicer. Vidaya vatsam duhur bila patre vishampaya. Thereafter, cobras and snakes without hoods, large snakes, scorpions, and many other poisonous animals took poison out of the planet Earth as their milk and kept this poison in snake holes. They made a calf out of takshaka. Purport. Within this material world, there are various types of living entities. And the different types of reptiles and scorpions mentioned in this verse are also provided with their sustenance by the arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The point is that everyone is taking his edibles from the planet Earth. According to one's association with the material qualities, one develops a certain type of character. Paya panam bunjanganam. If one feeds a snake milk, the snake will certainly increase his vermin. However, if one supplies milk to a talented sage or a saint, the sage will develop finer brain tissues by which he can contemplate higher spiritual life. Thus, the Lord is supplying everyone food, but according to the Living Entities Association with the modes of material nature, the living entity develops his specific character. For the text again. Thereafter, cobras and snakes without hoods, large snakes, scorpions, and many other poisonous animals took poison out of the planet Earth as their milk and kept this poison in snake holes. They made a calf out of takshaka. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Pujaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutum Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Siddharth. The planet Earth at one point didn't want to supply grains and other kinds of food to the inhabitants of the planet Earth. So Prithvi Maharaj, as the king, he threatened the Earth by taking the form of a cow, that now I'm going to kill you, cut you up into little pieces, and feed the people on the Earth planet. Bhumi decided it wasn't a good idea to try to evade Prithu Maharaj. She made different pleas, but ultimately, as we'll find out, she gave the necessities of life to the inhabitants. Now here it's been described, different inhabitants have different necessities. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Anad Bhavati Bhutani, Parjana Anasambhava, Jagnad Bhavati Parjanyo, Jagna Karma Samudbhava. That all living entities subsist on food grains. So this Anna, or it says food grains, it means that there are different Anna for different types of living entities. For human beings, it's supposed to be Jagna Shishtashna Shanto, Mujante Sarvakil Bishai, Bujante Te Tudam Papam, Ye Pachanyatmakarana. That the devotees of the Lord, they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. But others who eat food for personal sense gratification, they verily eat only sin. So, of course, we may wonder that it doesn't appear that people are eating one kind of food and there's some kind of chemical called sin in it. Sometimes we have this idea there's some kind of, like at the time of initiation, there's some kind of transfer. You see this energy being transferred from the disciple to the spiritual master. Sometimes it's described like that. But that's generally for dramatic effect. For instance, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered Jagai Madai, then the sins of Jagai Madai were transferred to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he turned black. That is, Lord Chaitanya had turned black. But generally we don't find at initiation ceremonies that the spiritual master turns black. As a symptom of the fact that the initiation is over, the spiritual master turns black, goes out of the room, lies down for a few days to recuperate. No, it's a mentality that's really, well, of course, lust, Krishna says, kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava. It is an energy. And it does cover our consciousness. It's obviously an energy which is covering our consciousness. So we don't perceive ourselves as a spiritual being. If we look into the mirror, we don't see a 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair compressed gopi. A zip gopi, we could say. Or a zip cowherd boy. Highly compressed. No, we see something else. Just like when we look around, we see, as Krishna says, or as I mentioned yesterday, sadvan rupa sarvasya shradhad bhavati bharata shado mayo yam purusho yoyat shradas eva saha. That according to one's existence under the modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. And according to one's faith, one obviously is going to act, and then according to those activities, another type of mode of material nature will be developed, and that will produce another conception of life. Therefore, paravas tavara bodha jato, yavana jignasita atma tatvam, Yavam kriyasthavati damno vai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. That as long as one is not inquisitive. In other words, right now we're all spiritual beings, every living entity. Not only those in the human form of life, but those in the lower species of life. They're also spiritual beings, exactly the same as we are, exactly in the same kind of situation. The only difference is, in the human form of life, we become inquisitive. And according to Bhagavad Gita, the first thing we should be, well, there are many different types of inquiries we can make, but one of our inquiries that is important is, why are we suffering? And one of the answers is that we're not eating food offered to sacrifice to Krishna, and therefore we're becoming influenced by a material energy called kama. And kama has two aspects. Namely, it covers our consciousness and it burns us, it impels us, or according to Ishupanishad, or nectar of instruction, vegam, kama, krodha, vimuktas tu, shaknoti naiva yakshodum, yakshurira vimokshaya, kama, krodha, tata, vegam, siyukta sasuki nara. After saying that yehi samsparsha bhoga dukkha yona evate adyantavanta kontiya nate shuramate buddha, that a person who's a little intelligent, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the senses with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. In other words, everyone's looking for something to eat. Now, that eating may be in different ways, as described here. We may be trying to eat, for instance, by eating food. And that's our generally first type of eating, with the tongue. We may be eating with our eyes. The eyes are also a kind of vehicle for eating. When we look at, for instance, objects, we're actually able to see those objects only because we're digesting light with our eyes. In other words, the living entity is hungry for happiness. And he's looking for food in the material world to devour, to eat, to digest, to achieve a kind of happiness. The senses are hungry, the mind is hungry for happiness, and therefore it has to eat something in order to experience that happiness. The ears are trying to hear something and then digest that, what we're hearing. Otherwise, for instance, I don't speak Slovensky. Therefore, there are many sound vibrations which just pass. Someone else may take great delight in them or are abhorred by. Other people are oblivious to what is actually going on. Because I was telling Leela Sukabru that story of one Bengali gentleman in British colonial India. He learned three words: yes, no, and what's that?
Very good.
Very good, yes. And, well, I guess, da, ne, verlo dobro. Verlo dobro. So he learned three words. So one time there was a robbery, and the British police were looking for the criminal, and they caught this Bengali gentleman. And they said, "Did you steal this?" And he said, "Yes." Because he didn't understand what they were talking about, so he just replied, "Yes." "Do you know you're going to be punished and you're going to go to prison? Is there anyone else who is with you? Did you do this all by yourself? Did anyone else help you?" "No." "Do you know you'll probably be hanged?" "Very good." Super. So everyone, the sound vibration we're trying to digest through our ears, we're trying to hear, we have to digest the sound, and then we can understand what we've heard. Just like we have to digest light, and then we can appreciate what we're seeing. So similarly with the other senses, digestion is required, and then we can enjoy or suffer in the material world. certain things we feel and we think we're enjoying, other things we may feel and we may think we're suffering. Prabhupada gives the example, in the summer, if you take a cold shower, it feels pleasant. But that same cold water during the winter may seem less than pleasant. So everyone is trying to digest some experience, the material world, ingest it and enjoy it. But here, if we were in the body of a snake, you take a cup of poison, it's like nectar. But if we take a cup of poison, it's like poison. But still, Mother Earth is supplying everyone with the necessities of life. It's not that she thinks, so you're a snake, I won't give you anything. Or you're a human being, I'll only supply poison. All the different edibles are there within the earth to supply all the living entities. And ultimately, it's Saha Jagna Prajashrisva Puro Prota Prajapati Anena Prasavishadvam Esha Yosh Vishtakamadu. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sin because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures, Brahma, actually, Vishnu, he sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this sacrifice because it will bestow upon you all desirable things. By performing sacrifice, then we come in contact with Krishna. And by becoming in contact with Krishna, we become out of the range of illusory energy. But everyone else in the material world is simply being directed by the illusory energy according to the mode of nature that they're situated. So this aspect of lust, which is covering our consciousness and not allowing us to see things as they actually are, for instance, we may identify ourselves with this body, so that's called avidya. We don't know what's really going on. And worse than that is asmita. We don't know what's going on, but we think we're this body. We got the wrong conclusion. It's one thing to be in ignorance and to think I'm in ignorance. The other thing to be in ignorance and think I know something. So everyone in this material world is in ignorance, and one who knows he's in ignorance, that's the beginning of knowledge, of looking for knowledge. But one who's in ignorance and he thinks he knows who he is, you ask someone, who am I? What do they call it? Slovensky? Slovenets. That's man. And Slovenskia?
Slovenka.
Slovenka. Americanets. Americanka. Americanka. Ingleska. So then we think we're this body. I'm man, I'm woman. We don't think, oh, I'm my dream last night. I'm a butterfly. Some people may think like that. There is one devotee, many years ago, he left the movement because he decided he would take shelter of someone he thought was more advanced than Prabhupada, a Babaji, who would give him a very quick method of self-realization. He went to him and he gave him Siddha Pranali mantra. His Siddha Pranali was that he was a peacock in Vrindavan. And his mantra was, coo, coo, coo. I saw him in his hut, he was practicing his sadhana. He was going, coo, coo, coo. Ah, ah. So he thought he had become a peacock in Vrindavan, and he was practicing. So this is called asmita, false ego. I mean, it's bad enough to think you're a human being, but to think you're a peacock when you're a human being, that's really, that's, then you're really in trouble. I don't know if he tried to eat the same as a peacock or not. But
snakes.
Snakes, yes. I noticed there were no snakes around where he was living. He didn't mention whether he had given up. He was a vegetarian peacock or a normal peacock. In any case, this asmita, this false ego, is the beginning of all our material activities, because on the basis of that false ego, we get everything, including the different types of food we're interested in. For instance, if a lusty man sees a beautiful woman, or a lusty woman sees a handsome man, or wealthy man, then they become attracted. But if a dog sees a beautiful woman, or a dog sees a beautiful man, he gets hungry. He imagines what it would be like if that person was dead, and how it, you know, which would be the first thing I'd nibble on. In India, I was told, the dogs, they go up to people and they lick their face. They do that here also, yeah. And people think, oh, this is love. The dog cleans himself and then comes up and licks you. And you think, oh, how beautiful, how sweet. But in India, the dog goes up to the body and licks it, actually to find out whether the body is alive or dead. And if the dog finds out that the body is not moving, then it bites off its nose. Because it found its food. So every living entity, according to its conception, thinks it has a certain kind of food to begin with. Because everyone has to eat in order to live, and therefore that's the first necessity. We can't do anything unless we're alive in this body. So everyone, as soon as they get a false ego, along with that, they get a kind of food. That's why after leaving this body, if one is very sinful, one has to be retrained by Yamaraj to take another body, to remold the false ego. So something which would be ordinarily considered abominable, one is trained up to think it's very nice. Just like a lion. They starve the lion until it becomes very submissive. And then the lion's practically dead, and then the keeper comes and gives the lion some food. And then the lion thinks, this is my savior. This trainer has saved me. I'm indebted to the trainer. So similarly, Yamaraj, by his different psychological techniques, knows how to change a human being into a pig or a dog. Because nowadays, in Kali Yuga, Yamaraj, he can give a speed course. Because people are more or less trained up as dogs and pigs anyhow. It's not much different. Not much he has to retrain them. Well, ordinarily one has to be retrained before one can be put into another body with another kind of false ego. So false ego is mendable, and it's all based upon ignorance. If we were actually illuminated, if we actually were realized in our spiritual identity, this material world would seem rather distasteful. After all, it's a place of misery. But somehow or another, in the midst of the misery, we're trying to figure out how to be happy. And the false ego is giving us so many conceptions of which sense objects will make us happy. Shrotrams, hearing, and then Shrotrams, Chakshusparshanam cha, Rasanam granam eva cha, Adishtayamanak chanya, Vishayan upasevate. Shrotram, so that's hearing. So everyone has a certain type of hearing. Senses, this body that we have, has been made specifically to try to enjoy a certain type of hearing. And chakshus, this certain type of vision. sparsham, a certain type of feeling. So all this is centered around the mind. And thus one enjoys a particular type of sense object. A person who's not conscious, who's not awakened to one's spiritual identity, he thinks that this is what life is all about. It simply looks for the objects that my senses are demanding, and therefore satisfy the mind. And the false ego is all based on the false ego, which causes us to identify ourselves with this particular situation. And our intelligence is simply geared up to try to figure out how to actually search for these sense objects. Therefore, Krishna says, Ukramantam sitimvapi punjana bhagunam vita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Therefore, we should not think that the lower species of life described here and their food and their different types of objects that they're looking for is somehow or another different from the human beings who are doing the same thing in the human form of life, but have no sense of any higher consciousness. It is simply another type of earth, fire, and air, and ether, combined in a slightly different form that people are looking to gratify their senses with, whether one is a snake, or a rakshasa, or a witch, or whatever else, it's more or less the same thing. Therefore, yatanto yoginas china, pashantyatma yavashtita, Yatanto yakritatmano naiva pashanti cheta saha. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge, but those whose eyes are not trained in knowledge cannot actually see what's taking place. So we shouldn't be so sure that we actually know what's going on around here. All we can say is that somehow or another we've gotten some knowledge about our identity as a spiritual being, and that there's a supreme person, and that we're making an attempt to try to become Krishna conscious. But we shouldn't think our false ego is going to give up so quickly, that we just chant Hare Krishna for a few minutes, or a few days, or a few years, and suddenly our false ego is going to be completely remolded. No, we can just check our false ego and think, who do I think I am? And we'll probably think there's a good amount that I'm still identifying myself with this body or this mind or some part of the material energy. So that means our false ego hasn't been completely purified. We may have some theoretical knowledge of my spiritual identity as Krishna's servant, and we may even feel Krishna's reciprocation as we try to endeavor to please him. But until we actually become self-realized, we won't know who we really are. And there's always a tendency to forget that we're Krishna's servant and to look after the objects of the senses again, either gross or subtle. As soon as we forget Krishna, then at once we're involved in some form of sense gratification. That shouldn't depress us in the sense that it's very hard to remember Krishna all the time, because unless one is on a very high platform of experience of Krishna, it's very hard to constantly remember him. And as soon as we forget him, then at once the sense objects, we're looking after sense objects again. So unless we withdraw the mind back to Krishna, then we wind up on some level of sense gratification, depending on how long it takes us to bring our minds back to Krishna. If we don't bring our minds back to Krishna, then the senses are continuously looking for their objects, and there's no limit to it. And as one is more and more involved in the sense gratification, gradually by association, generally one becomes more interested in first eating, then sleeping, then mating, and then defending. We try to gratify our senses, and we try to, it puts us into a dreamlike state, And then we look for more and more gross types of sense gratification. And then we get angry or frustrated, or we try to defend what we have. Therefore, we're fortunate if we follow sadhana. That is, we eat prasad. And of course, not only we're just eating prasad, but out of all the different types of eating that we're doing, the most important food is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because unless we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and digest it by trying to understand it, unless we're hungry to eat the Srimad Bhagavatam through our ears, if we think, oh, I'm full, I heard yesterday, I'm not this body, I'm suffering from indigestion now. I don't want another word. I'm already depressed enough. Like Krishna's God and I can't be God. You know, all my hopes for material happiness have been discouraged. I've heard enough of the Bhagavatam for the next 3 years. No, we have to become hungry to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it won't enter into our ears. Just like if you had a big feast, and suddenly someone gives you a big, big samosa, and you've just eaten more, twice as much as you could possibly. Your stomach is only so big, and you've eaten so much. The last kachori that you ate came out your ear. So then someone offers you some other, you know, kachori or samosa or something, and you don't want to eat because you've had enough. So one has to become hungry because we haven't digested the food we've eaten. So one has to hear the Bhagavatam through the ears and then actually try to assimilate it, try to understand it, try to digest it, and do a little exercise called putting it into practice. That way you actually digest it, experience it, realize it, and then become hungry for more of the Bhagavatam. Then whatever we're doing, if we hear the Bhagavatam, we'll be able to do it in Krishna consciousness. And therefore it'll no longer be material sense objects we're dealing with, it'll be spiritual objects. And therefore instead of bewildering us and putting us under the spell of illusion more and more, everything we're doing, everything we're tasting, smelling, touching, using Krishna service will serve to further enlighten us and purify us of the material coverings of the false ego, and gradually we'll actually realize that I am Jivara Swarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das. That I am actually Krishna's servant. It wasn't simply an idea, it's a who I actually am. And only when I become Krishna's servant and experience the bliss of Krishna's happiness and the bliss of trying to please him, can I actually be happy? Otherwise, I'll simply continually look for one sense object after another in this material world without any end in 8,400,000 species of life, and simply always get a little happiness and a lot of problems and a lot of distress. So, stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Chant Hare Krishna on the Padyatra. Distribute books. Take prasadam. Worship Gaur Nitai and Prabhupada. Especially those things. Serve the devotees. Preach. Chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and worship the deities. Engage in the 9 processes of devotional service. That will digest what we've heard. And it'll give us the transcendental nutrition and health so that we'll become more and more Krishna conscious. Yes.
Thank you for the lecture. When we go to Padayatra and distribute the holy name, prasadam, and books, is our focus to distribute this to as many people as possible? Or is it more important friends who show interest, that we take time and do it nicely, like not hurrying. Now you got it, now I hurry to another one.
Either one is all right. Because it's hard to judge. I mean, if someone stops, if you distribute a book and they ask you what it's about, and you tell them, I don't have time to tell you, you have to buy it, find out for yourself. Mm-hmm. We have to explain, we have to get a sense from the super soul, a sense of how much we should spend with each person. But generally, the more time we spend with people, the less likely it is that they're going to take the book. We don't want to satisfy people's inquisitiveness so much that they're actually satisfied by the time they're done with us. And therefore we say, well, why don't you take the book? And they say, no, you tell me everything I wanted to know. So we actually are trying to invoke their inquisitiveness, what we're doing, and then give them a book. Let the book explain to them what we're doing. And if they're actually sincerely interested, give them a card and invite them to come and associate with the devotees to find out more. But at least our objective is to distribute the book. If after distributing the book they have a question or two, that's all right. But answer the question in such a way as that they won't ask for their money back. Because that would be very unfortunate. In other words, we should try to distribute his book, as many books as possible, and the quality should be there also. We should be in ecstasy doing it. That's sufficient to explain everything, practically speaking. If we're happily and enthusiastically distributing the book, that is the essence, and patiently, that is the essence of what we're doing. But I think we'll find that it's very rare you meet people intensely inquisitive unless they've really read our books before. They just want to find out why you're wearing your robes and what's that strange thing you have in your forehead. Why do you shave your head? Anything else? Yes.
Mother Earth supplies all necessities for all living entities. So if a disciple endeavors and sincerely tries to execute the order of the spiritual master, will the earth supply everything to execute that order?
Well, it depends what the order is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think if the order, if the spiritual master is actually in line of the disciples of succession, and the order is ultimately really coming from Krishna, then of course, or else the earth is going to be in trouble. I think she learned a lesson with Mara Pritha. You don't have to remind her anymore.
Thank you.
But if the spiritual master somehow or another says, I need a diamond Cadillac, I don't know if Krishna really, that order is really coming from Krishna. Therefore, the earth may not feel herself obliged to supply. But generally speaking, yes. I mean, he wants us to distribute books, chant the holy name, and take prasadam, distribute prasadam. So the earth, we can see, is supplying whatever is necessary.
Right. Thank you.
Anything else? Kuala. Grandhara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Poor Pranam.
Prasadopra Dhananda Sam Ki Jai.